influenced the way I approach music and the way I think about music. I will also say, in the reverse, playing music, playing banjo and guitar, little mandolin here and there, that has affected how I teach and how I think about teaching, and actually how I think about talking with colleagues, talking with folks like you, talking with professional scientists that I might be consulting with. That idea of performance has really affected, in ways that I think are positive, the way I interact with students and the way I interact with colleagues and consultees and things like that.
Very interesting answer. I know that some people will talk about the mathematics in Bach, but you know, you're talking about the other side too, having it come back and influence your professional life.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's one of the really great things about being open to whatever experiences you have, is that experience in one area may well influence and inform and improve experience in another area. I have to say that's one of the things that attracted me to statistics initially anyway. One of the metaphors of statistics is that it's the crossroads of science, in the sense that that statisticians develop methods and develop models, these mathematical lists of assumptions, maybe to solve a problem in one area, like educational testing. And it turns out that those same models, those same assumptions, those same methods turn out to be useful in a completely different area, like counting the number of people in a population or assessing the success of a online tutoring system or something like that. And so the methods that you use in one area, you bring into the crossroads, you go out another road to another part of science or policy and discover that those same methods are useful somewhere else. You have to be open to different experiences.
As you were talking there, you mentioned counting people. And I know my son worked as a census taker one summer. I think it's pretty remarkable that we still try to do a nationwide census. But then, of course, there are all sorts of questions about its accuracy.
Well, that's true. We do a nationwide census because it's required as a part of our Constitution. So every 10 years, we have to do, and we should do, headcount of the population, essentially. And that feeds into things like the apportionment of representatives in the House of Representatives, and feeds into lots of our other government policies. Accuracy is a really difficult question for the census. There are groups that are reliably undercounted, such as those who are homeless or who whose addresses are not well established. And there are groups who are reliably overcounted, such as those who have multiple homes and may be moving between homes, their summer home and their winter home, during the census taking. And so accounting for those inaccuracies is an important part of census taking. And actually, it's a part of census work that has been the object of a great deal of political struggle. And one of the reasons for that is that undercounting in particular tends to happen among the part of the population that would be inclined to vote Democratic anyway. And overcounting tends to happen, conversely, in the part of the population that would be inclined to vote Republican. And so there are political reasons for preferring that either you do or don't account for those inaccuracies. And that's been an ongoing debate and an ongoing legal struggle in this country for quite a long time.
I believe X, you believe Y. I say my numbers support me. You say your numbers support you. What's a consumer of the media supposed to do?
Well, you got to get behind the numbers. You got to get to the actual facts. The numbers typically are a summary of what the actual facts are. And so either by digging into the sources that produce the numbers or by collecting facts yourself, you got to get behind the numbers. You have to understand where they come from in order to understand what seems trustworthy.
Brian Junker, from the Department of Statistics and Data Science here at Carnegie Mellon. That was a great way to end this conversation. Thank you, Brian.
Hey, I've enjoyed it a lot. I didn't bring a banjo, but I know you brought a couple guitars, so maybe after this we can have some fun.
You've been listening to Pandemonium. The opinions expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of WRCT or Carnegie Mellon University. Email comments or questions to WRCT Public Affairs, pa@wrct.org. Thanks for listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
RCT, Pittsburgh.
Hey, look how cheap this one is.
That's a counterfeit.
So what?
So what? Your skin lotion could have something scary in it, like
antifreeze or other poisons. It could even be urine and mouse droppings you're rubbing all over your skin, and you wouldn't even know it.
No way. That's creepy and sick.
Yeah, that's why we need to know what's inside.
To find out more about how counterfeits can cause real harm to you and your family, visit ncpc.org/goforreal. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
You are listening to 88.3 FM WRCT Pittsburgh. It's the Mockster. Normally at this time, you're tuning in to hear an encore presentation of the Viva La Mock radio program. But last weekend was Massive Music Weekend here on WRCT, which means there was no Viva La Mock. So instead, how about an encore presentation of some of the artists I featured during Massive Music Weekend, starting things off with 30 minutes of Chicago's own Material Issue.
Valerie's dancing on the room above my bed, you know. Follow the wild alone to see. Valerie's leaving on a car outside my house, you know. Such a shame she's not.
Formed in 1985 by singer Jim Ellison, the power pop trio self-released an EP in 1987.
She's going through my
1991 saw the release of their full-length debut, International Pop Overthrow, an album that was produced by Jeff Murphy of The Shoes. The first single that came off of 1991's International Pop Overthrow album, Diane, here on 88.3 FM. Before that, from their self-released 1987 EP that was Material Issue with She's Going Through My Head. And start off the entire show with another track off that International Pop Overthrow album, And Valerie Loves Me. And speaking of the International Pop Overthrow album, why not play the title track?
International pop, international pop, overthrow. International pop, international pop, overthrow. International pop, 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 International Pop. International Pop. International Pop.
In 1992, Material Issue followed up their breakthrough debut with Destination Universe, and once again produced by Jeff Murphy. Material Issue's third and final proper release, Freak City Soundtrack, came out in 1994. It was produced by legendary producer Mark Chapman, who was known for his work with The Sweet, Susie Quattro, and producing the breakthrough albums by Blondie and The Knack. The album also featured guests like Rick Nielsen of Cheap Trick and Gilby Clark of Guns N' Roses. Sales, however, were disappointing, and by early 1995, the band parted ways with Mercury Records. Sadly, on June 20th, 1996, Jim Ellison, the man who started the band 11 years before, committed suicide at the age of 32. Recordings done in 1995 and 1996 were released posthumously on a fourth and final album, Telecommando Americano. That has been 30 Minutes of Material Issue. A feature-length documentary on the band is scheduled to be released later this year. Don't forget, you can listen to me Friday nights at 9 here on 88.3 FM WRCT Pittsburgh in a little show I call Viva La Mock. I also want to remind you that Spack Brothers Pizza joins you in supporting WRCT Pittsburgh. Spack Brothers Pizza offers pizza, hoagies, and wings while they specialize in vegan and vegetarian alternatives. Spack Brothers Pizza uses no refined sugars in their sauce or any unbleached flour in their dough. Spack Brothers is committed to safety during the ongoing pandemic by providing online ordering and payment, as well as contact-free pickup. You can learn more about the online ordering at SpackBrothers.com. For more information, call 412-362-SPAK or visit their website at SpackBrothers.com. That's 412-362-SPAK. 7725 or spakbrothers.com. And don't forget, if you are ever interested in underwriting for WRCT, you can email pr@wrct.org for more information about promotional exchanges and other partnership opportunities.
And go. río y el mariachi llenarán de mil perfumes la flor del Alcatraz. Miles de gente van hasta Guadalupe en procesión, miles de voces cantando el mismo son. Es un poema que en México a la orilla de un palmar, los arbolitos juntitos nacerán. ¡Que viva México! Sin Susana, canción mixteca, nostalgia de Sonora, Yucatán, los mexicanos no deben olvidar. Que viva México, viva mi rancho y mi ciudad, que viva México.
tenía nada que hacer. El maestro no está jalando, estaba solo como un perro. Y para colmo mis vecinos no dejaban de poner esa rola de verso que dice como la mitad son todo narco. El presidente, wow, 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 wow. Así que agarré mi chamarre, me fui el cobadonga. Casi siempre hay una banda y de hacerme alguna onda. Todos en las mesas jugaban dominó. Yo preferí estar con mis cuates para armar algo punk. Era una cruzada sagrada para encontrar reventón.
Agárrate una nave.
Íbamos todos como idiotas buscando la calle Progreso, esquina con Reforma. Siempre se me olvida que ese tipo de fiestas nunca tienen chupe ni coca de dieta. De vuelta al coche por la manzana buscando un Oxxo y es de mañana. Ya ni te cuento, en la mañana me mudó de velón. Nos hubiéramos quedado jugando dominó.
Agárrate una nave para reventar. La fiesta es en la Roma o es en Coyoacán.
Yo estoy muy viejo para esos trotes, ya no me late y no son azotes. Tal vez estoy perdiendo condición.
Nine, 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 para.
¿Qué pachuca, Jolierio?
Creo que lo que dices no es nada correcto.
¿Debo de seguir en el reventón?
Debes de buscar a la batía adecuada. Comerte unos tacos de canasta licuada y seguir desde por ocho hasta la madrugada.
Agárrate una nave para reventar. La fiesta es en la Roma o es en Coyoacán. Agárrate una nave para reventar. La fiesta es en la Roma o es en Coyoacán. Agárrate una nave para reventar. La fiesta es en la Roma o es en Coyoacán. Agárrate una nave para reventar. La fiesta es en la Roma o es en Coyoacán. Agárrate una nave.
Ingratos ojos míos no me dejan en paz. Cada vez que te miro te quiero más y más. Con esos ojos míos no sé qué voy a hacer. Si tú no me comprendes me vas a enloquecer. Y no me mates, papacito, no más déjate querer. Ellos tienen la culpa de mi grande ilusión. Sin verte te recuerdo con todo el corazón. Cuando te estoy mirando de amor sufro por ti. Ingratos ojos míos, ¿por qué serán así? Llorar de pena los voy a condenar, porque por culpa de ellos no te podré olvidar. Cuando te estoy mirando de amor sufro por ti. Ingratos ojos míos, ¿por qué serán así?
Llegar jamás. Vos confundís mi vida más y más.
Vamos
hacia otro destino, a encontrar algún lugar en el camino. Hora de huir, de salir de aquí, de encontrar algún lugar donde morir. Y seguir soñando hasta que el sueño sea real. Seguir soñando hacia otro destino.
Pittsburgh, this is Eric Harrison coming to you with a heart full of gratitude on WRCT Pittsburgh. Rock on, Yinzers.
Put your hands together and welcome to the stage, Lindisfarne.
I'm Ella Harp, and you're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
Sitting lotus on the floor, belly dancing beauty with a power driven soul. Had my share of nightmares, didn't think it'd be much more.
In walked Rodney Gusher with Lady Eleanor.
She tied my eyes in the ribbons of a silken ghostly thread. I gazed with troubled vision on an old four poster bed, where Eleanor had risen to kiss the neck below my head.
Bid me come along with her to the land of the dancing dead.
But it's all right, Lady Eleanor.
I'm all right where I am.
like a mother to his son. Like living, dying, seeing, being all rolled into one. Then all at once I heard some music in my bones. Same old song, heard for years, reminding me of home. But it's all right, Lady Eleanor. Tongues of fire, a host of golden demons screaming lust and base desire. When it seemed for certain that the screams could get no higher, I heard a voice above the rest screaming, "You're alive." But it's alright, Lady Eleanor.
Must be who told a lie concerning me, for
my fellow Americans. I would just like to say now, as an expert on the subject, that WRCT Pittsburgh does not blow. Thank you.
Before we get started, I'd like to remind you that the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this show are solely those of individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of WRCT Pittsburgh and its members.
Well, President Joe Biden flew down to Florida yesterday and met with Republican Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, and they did a sort of assess the damage and comfort people type event after Hurricane Ian devastated Florida. And I don't even want to deal in this segment with Ron DeSantis's hypocrisy, wherein he's previously in Congress voted against funding for disasters like for Superstorm Sandy in New York and New Jersey, and then is begging for the money in Florida. We've already talked about that. That's not new ground. So I don't want to focus on that. What I want to focus on is how reluctantly, Ron DeSantis praised Joe Biden and the federal response to the hurricane, indicating they gave us everything we asked for. Joe Biden praised Ron DeSantis. And even though DeSantis had a sourpuss on his face the entire time, it proves that these people can work together. And on so many issues, there really shouldn't be any disagreements. The disagreements are basically contrived for the voters to feel as though my guy is doing something. So anyway, let's look at a couple of clips here. Here is Ron DeSantis, again, with a scowl on his face and a sourpuss, saying Biden's handled this fine.
This general area, we were very fortunate to have good coordination with the White House and with FEMA from the very beginning of this. We declared a state of emergency last Friday, September 23rd. This was a disturbance out there by Columbia. And then the next day, we got a major disaster declaration approved by the president, and we really appreciated that. And that basically set off the massive mobilization that we had ready to be able to respond to this storm.
So thanks to Joe Biden, they were able to do everything he felt they needed to do.
As of now, there have been over 2,500 rescues effectuated.
Okay, so there's DeSantis sort of like, yeah, it was all good. Here is more a praise to some degree from Ron DeSantis of Joe Biden.
And I think we've worked as well across state, local, and federal of any disaster that I've seen. And so I want to thank Administrator Criswell from FEMA for being on the ground, being supportive, and being very responsive. I think one of the things that you're seeing in this response, we are cutting through the bureaucracy. We are cutting through the red tape.
Wow.
And that's from
a Democratic president letting you cut through all of the bureaucracy and red tape to get you what you need. That's pretty good.
Local government, state government, all the way up to the president. So we appreciate the team effort.
So there was like a really strange feel to the entire thing. Here is President Biden also praising DeSantis, which, again, fantastic. These seem like genuine compliments. I think it's a great thing.
How is Governor DeSantis? Biden, I think he's done a good job. Look, I called him. I think he before he called me. We work hand in glove. We have very different political philosophies. But he worked hand in glove, and he's been on
So difficult to hear, but Biden said he and DeSantis have worked hand in glove. It's been great. He's been dealing with the crisis well. And then another just really interesting moment here was when President Biden was praising Governor Ron DeSantis.